Okay, welcome back to Malachim Aleph. So we are learning, we're heading towards the end of Malachim Aleph, almost done Malachim Aleph. So we are learning Perek Chaf, and I think we got through Pasuk Chaf Hey last week, if I'm not mistaken. So just to recap very quickly, so the beginning of Perek Chaf discusses this king of Aram by the name of Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad is the king of Aram. And he starts out by threatening Achav. Achav at first kind of gives in. He doesn't want to make a whole big, he doesn't want to go to war. And then Ben-Hadad, says a little more, and Achav says, okay, that's too far. And they end up fighting, and Achav comes out victorious. Ben-Hadad is basically defeated. And we ended the perek you count up your people, and the servants of the king of Aram, and this is important for the rest of the perek, say to Ben-Hadad in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, listen, the reason why we lost is because we fought in the mountains, and their king, after all, is Elokei Harim Elokeihem. Their king is the king of the mountains, and that's why we were defeated. So we're going to regroup, and next time we're going to fight him in the Mishor, in the plains. And he's not going to beat us in the plains. And that was the plan. That was the idea. Let's regroup. Let's get our bearings back, and let's fight again. So that's how we left off the parable. Okay? Now comes Pasuk Chaf Vav. Ahilis Teshuvas HaShana, Ben Hadad Es Aram, Vayal Afeka. So the next year, he counted, right? He counted, meaning he was making sure his ranks were replenished, right? Says the Mitzvah Da'as, but he wanted to make sure that he had the enough soldiers. Many soldiers were killed last time around in the last battle, so he regrouped and he enlisted other soldiers to come with him to fight, and now they came, and now he's going to come back and fight. And he went to this place called Afek. That was the name of the town, the name of the city. And he wanted to fight with Klal Yisrael by this place. Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Uvnei Yisrael haspakdu v'chalkelu vayelchu likrasam. And Bnei Yisrael, okay, they see there's another fight coming on. There's another battle. Ben-Hadad is coming back for more. So haspakdu, they count up v'chalkelu. Now, Pashup shot in Bechal Kelu. What's Bechal Kelu? Mechal Kel Chaim Bechesed. Right? So, well, that's not the Pashup shot. Pashup shot, we'll get there. But Pashup shot is Mechal Kel Chaim Bechesed means Hashem Kalkala. Hashem sustains. He provides. So, Pashup shot is that they made sure that they had everything they needed. Whether it was the provisions, whether it was food for the army, whether it was weapons, whatever the case is, army's going to war, like we know with Tzahal, right? Army's going to war. You need things. You need weapons. You need the proper gear. You need food. You need all these things. So that's the chalkalu. That's the pashup shot in the chalkalu. However, the Radak says what Aaron said. Aaron was mechavan to the Radak, and the Radak says it's from the language of kol. And what does that mean? They counted up haspakdu the chalkalu. They counted up and they had everyone. Meaning they did not even lose one soldier from the previous battle. Right, as much as Ben-Hadad lost his soldiers, Achav and Bnei Yisrael did not lose even one soldier. So you see how decisive that last victory was. Of course, with Yad Hashem, right, with Hashem helping. Okay, and now Bnei Yisrael are going back out to battle, back out to war. Vayachanu Bnei Yisrael negdom, and Bnei Yisrael camps across from Ben-Hadad and his army. Kishnei Chastifei Ezim, like two groups of goats. Okay, now if I was describing a intimidating military, I would not describe them as two groups of goats, right? So presumably the idea here is that this wasn't such an intimidating force, and it's to emphasize the fact that this was miraculous. This was Nisan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's waging this war. Not that Bnei Yisrael had such a stronger force than Ben-Hadad. This was not a natural war where Bnei Yisrael won because they were stronger than Ben-Hadad's army. Ben-Hadad's army was stronger. as we talked about last time, right? Last week, with all the chariots and the horses and and the 32 kings, he had a much stronger army. This was Nisan. This was a miraculous battle. They were like two groups of goats. But the seventh said, "Well, what's the two groups?" So we know we have the Sarei Hamadinos, right? We had the young people that were the sons, the princes of these officers, whatever they were, the foreign officers that we discussed last week. And then you have the 7,000 soldiers that we mentioned also. These were the two groups. And they were like two groups of goats. Not such an intimidating bunch. The Aram Milu and Aram, they filled the land, meaning they covered the whole territory. This was in a plain, this was in a Mishor, because Aram was making sure not to fight in a mountain this time, because they said, okay, their God is the God of the mountains. So let's fight in the plains. And they covered the whole, it was a sea of Arameans, or whatever you call them, right? A sea of Arami soldiers, okay? Compared to this two little measly group, 7,000, and how many, it's less than like 7,500 people here, the Jewish army. Pasuk Chof Ches. Vayigash Isha Elokim. Now, all of a sudden, we have Nevuah. Vayigash Isha Elokim. A man of God comes, Vayomer El Melech Yisrael. And he says to Achav, the king of Israel, Vayomer, Ko Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Yan Asher Omru Aram, Elokei Harim Hashem, Velo Elokei Amakim, who? Since Aram basically cursed Hashem. They didn't curse him, but they blasphemed. They were disrespectful. What did they say about Hashem? He's only the God of the mountains. He's not the God of the plains. He's not the God of the valleys. We'll defeat him next time when we fight in the Mishor. So since they said that, therefore, v'nasati es kol ha'homo nagodol hazeh b'yodcha, I'm going to give them all to you. You're going to defeat them. This whole vast army that Ben-Hadad has brought, you're going to defeat them. V'idatem ki ani Hashem. And you will know that I am Hashem. Okay, now, it's interesting. The pasuk says Vayomer twice, right? The Mefarshim pick up on this. Vayomer HaMelech Yisrael, Vayomer. So we're going to see that the Mefarshim say that the next Navi is Michiyahu. So I think the assumption is that this one might also be Michiyahu. No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Was Michiyahu, I think. We didn't have a name? The Mefarshim didn't say? On this pasuk?
Yeah.
Oh. Michiyahu. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I see article says that in 28. Yeah. Michiyahu. So Michiyahu we had last week also. We said it was Michiyahu. One of the Nevi'im. Okay. So he comes here. Vayomer, Vayomer. What's the double Vayomer? So Pashup Shat says the Radak. The double Vayomer is always to strengthen. You always have a double language to strengthen the message. So he was strengthening the message. But Rashi says no. He quotes Chazal, Rabbi Yochanan, that says that anytime you have two Vayomers, it's coming to teach you something, right? The first Vayomer is you will defeat them, right? You will defeat them. That's the second Vayomer is something that doesn't appear in this pasuk, but we're going to learn about it in a second. That in the event that Ben-Hadad is taken captive, don't have mercy on him. Kill him. Execute him. Get rid of him. He's a threat. Aram. He keeps coming back and fighting against Klal Yisrael. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Right? Like it's all in the news now. How many times did Netanyahu, bypass and not okay to assassinate Sinwar, right? How many times, all these articles now. Oh, we could have killed him then. No. Don't let him go. Right? If Ben-Hadad comes and you have him in your clutches, don't let him go. Don't let him go. That's how Rashi understands in the name of Chazal. Now, what's the end of the pasuk? Says the Radak, V'yidatem ki ani Hashem. What does that mean? V'yidatem ki ani Hashem? And you'll know that I'm Hashem? They didn't know before? Granted, Achav wasn't such a great guy. So wasn't such a great Jew, right? He had his share of Avodah Zarah and Baal and all that stuff, right? But at the same time, we see he has some kind of belief in Hashem, right? That's clear that he has some kind of belief in Hashem. Says the Radak, you don't deserve this. This nace of defeating Aram and his army, you don't deserve Achav. Why? Because you're a Baalnik. You're an Oved Avodah Zarah. Well, what are you good for, right? But if I do it, it's vidatim ki ani Hashem. I'm doing it because, to make a kiddush Hashem. I'm doing it to be mekadesh shem shamayim. That's what the Navi is saying. I'm not doing it for you. It's not because you're such a great guy and you deserve this nes. You don't deserve it. I'm doing it just for the kiddush shem shamayim shibo. That's it.
Didn't we say that he had a small sefer Torah? That he had a sefer Torah that was
Well, that was
that
the
class.
beginning. At the beginning, according to the Medrash,
Okay.
that was the line that he wouldn't cross. And we said that there was some schus for that. Correct. Yeah. But according to the Radak, this wasn't because of that. Right. This wasn't because of that. This was for the Kiddush Hashem.
Also said that he also didn't do a full kavar.
Okay.
So, in other words, he stressed. He was the Navi was stressing to him. He said that you don't deserve this. You know, if even
Because you didn't do a full tshuva.
yeah.
You're doing some things good, but not everything. Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. We find this. Ahav has, he's struggling. You know, he believes in Hashem. It was, you know, we said last time this was one thing. He wouldn't give over the Torah scroll, right? He wouldn't give over the Sefer Torah. But at the same time, he's involved with Baal. He's, you know, he's confused. You know, Ahav's confused himself, it sounds like. Now the Radak also says, Vidatim ki ani Hashem, says, why will you know that I'm Hashem? Because he says one time is a coincidence, but twice, to defeat Aram last time in a miraculous fashion, and again now in a miraculous fashion, that's going to be clear. Vidatim kenei Hashem, right? There's no doubt about that. You don't have, you know, your lightning doesn't strike twice, so that's clear. Okay, pasuk chavtes vayachanu eile nochach eile shivas yomim. So they each camped across from each other for 7 days, getting ready. And it was on the seventh day, Vatik Rama Vayakub bnei Yisrael es Aram 100,000 ragli biyom echad. And bnei Yisrael comes out victorious, and they kill 100,000 Arami soldiers in one day. Now that's an incredible amount, obviously, right? Incredible amount. But that's what they kill in one day. Again, emphasizing, underscoring the miraculous nature of this battle, of this war. This is Hashem fighting. This is Hashem fighting the war. Okay. Now, not everyone is killed. Their force is greater than 100,000. 100,000 were killed, but they have more soldiers. Okay. We'll see. Tens of thousands of more soldiers. So they run. The rest of the soldiers run. Pasuk Lamed. Vayanusu anosarim afeka el ha'ir. So the other soldiers run towards the city of Afek, like we mentioned, that's where they had gone. They're running towards the city. Now, why are they running towards the city? So the Radak says, because this city was a city in Yehuda, in the land of Yehuda, and the king of Yehuda was at peace with Melech Aram. So Melech Aram is fighting with the Melech Yisrael, who's Ahav, but we know the Melech Yehuda is a different king, and he's at peace with Aram. So they figure they're going to go run there. And he'll take them in. He'll take them in. He'll provide them with refuge against Ahav, and he'll protect them. So they're all running towards the city to get into Afek and escape the wrath of Ahav's troops. Vatipol, all of a sudden, they're outside the city trying to get in. Vatipol hachola al esrim v'shiva elef ish hanosarim. All of a sudden, the walls of the city crumble. Okay, now obviously this is clear. This is miraculous, right? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly waging war here. Okay, so all of a sudden you have 27,000 remaining troops, and they're all outside the city, banging on the door, trying to get in. And all of a sudden the wall comes tumbling down on them, kills all of them instantly. 27,000 men. Uven Hadad nos. Ben Hadad survives. Farshim say either he was all the way in the front or he was all the way in the back, right? But either way, he survived, and we'll see he survived with some avadim. It wasn't just him; it was him and a small group of servants, okay, or a small group of soldiers around him. But most of the soldiers, of the remaining soldiers, were killed by this wall. 27,000 additional soldiers. Vayavo el ha'ir cheder b'cheder. They come into the city. There's no wall, so it's easy to get in there, right? They come into the city. And they go into hiding. Chadar, cheder, v'chadar. They go into, you know, a room within a room. You know, mamish like hiding out to make sure that Achav and his men don't find them. Vayomru elav avadav. So now they're petrified. Achav and his force are outside. They're going to come kill them. They're in this city. They're hoping to stay safe. They don't know what to do. Vayomru Elov Avodov. So Achav's servants, I'm sorry, Ben Hadad's servants, the remaining, whatever remaining small little group of people that was with him, say to him, Hineino Shamanu Kimalche Beis Yisrael Kimalche Chesed He. They said, you know, we heard that the kings of Yisrael are really kind people, even though they just killed us in battle, but that's because we came to attack them. But in reality, they're really kind people. They're kind-hearted people. They're Balei Chesed. Maybe they'll have mercy on us. Everybody's dead. 100,000 troops were killed in battle. Another 27,000 were killed by the walls. You know, it's like a little minion here left. Maybe they'll have rachamim on us. Maybe they'll have mercy on us, and they won't kill us. Maybe. But what do we have to do? We have to show that we're gonna subjugate ourselves. We have to show that we're ready to make ourselves their servants, their slaves. So what should we do? Nosima nosakim b'mosneinu. Let's put on sackcloth. Sackcloth, says the Mitzudas David, that's like prisoners of war. That's what they wore, right? Like you see now, the prisoners, you see the Hamas, prisoners of war, right? They stripped them to make sure they're not wearing any explosives, right? So they're also the prisoners of war. They put on, they took off their uniforms, I guess, whatever. They put on sackcloth. That's what they were wearing. So let's put on sackcloth to look like prisoners. V'chavolim b'roshenu. And let's put ropes around our heads. V'neitze al melech Yisrael, ula yechaya es nafshecha. Let's go out to the king of Yisrael, to Achav. Maybe he'll keep you alive. Maybe we have no chance. If we just stay here in hiding, you know, we'll survive a day, 2 days. We're not going to make it long term. This is our only chance for survival. Let's plead. Let's plead for mercy, and let's do it this way. The Mitzvah Stavit says, what's the ropes? Mitzvah Stavit says the ropes are an indication that if you want to kill us, you can kill us. If you want to hang us, here are the ropes. Right? We're showing complete submission to the Malchei Yisrael. I saw on the bottom of the article they put another pshat, I forget from who, that the ropes also could be like, we're almost like animals, like you can lead us away, you know, like animals, like a leash. So either way, however you understand it, whether it's that, whether it's like the Mitzvah stuff it says, but either way, it's a sign of submission. Yeah. They could have got, I mean, well, presumably Melech Yehuda knew, again, it doesn't say how they got into the city. It just says they came into the city. So, you know, Melech Yehuda presumably knew that they were in the city. Let's assume, right? But there was only so much he could do. Meaning if Ahab wants to kill him, they're going to find him. You know, I guess he figured they're not going to go to civil war over this. So he'll take me in, he'll protect me. But if Ahab really wants to kill him, he'll kill him. He'll find him and he'll kill him. They're not going to, you know. That's what I assume. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Beis. So they did it. Good idea. Vayachgeru sakim b'mosneihem. So they put on the sackcloth. Vachavolim b'rosheihem. And they put the ropes around their heads. Vayavo el melech Yisrael. And they send a group to melech. And they come to melech Yisrael. To Achav. Vayomru. Avdecha ben Hadad Omar. So it's a group. Achav's not Ben Hadad is not here. Right? They kept him in hiding. And this group went to go plead the case to Achav. So they say, Avdecha ben Hadad, right? Your servant, submission, right? Subjugating themselves. Your servant ben Hadad Omar, techi no nafshi. Please, please keep me alive. Pleading for his life. Mamish, like a dog, pleading for his life. Vayomer, and Achav says, right, a little twinge of rachamim in his heart, Ha'udenu chai achihu. Is he still alive? He's my brother. He's my brother. But all of a sudden, his mercy is aroused. Mitzudas David says, tell him not to be afraid. He's my brother. I saw in the bottom of the article also, they say that, you know, they said, the servants, they said, Avdecha ben Hadad. We're willing, you know, he'll be your Evan. And he, Achav, he's not even going that far. Achihu, he's my brother. He's my brother, don't worry about it. All of a sudden, Achav's softening up. Right? Achav's softening up. Now again, we see, you know, what happened to the Kiddush Hashem? He blasphemed Hashem's name. What happened to the Kina, L'shem Hashem? Achav doesn't have that. Right? So all of a sudden, Achav won the war. If he won the war, he feels good. All right, there's one guy, you know, Nebuch. This general's left. you know, we'll let him live. What's the big deal? What's he going to do? His whole force is dead. You know, what's he going to do? Starting to have rachamim. Very good, right? Similar to Sheol and Agag. Now, we don't have a clear tzivui that he had to be killed. We did mention Rashi quoted Chazal that said the second Vayomer was alluding to that, right? That if Ben Hadad is taken captive, don't let him go. But there's a drash. It wasn't a clear tzivui. By Sheol, it was clear. He was supposed to kill everyone, right? That's not so clear here. But, you know, but lafi that Chazal, he knew that he was supposed to kill him, and he's not. He's having rachamim, he's having mercy. Okay, now we'll see. You know, this is his mistake. This is Achav's mistake. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Hanashim Yenachashu. Now the messengers are shocked. They weren't expecting that, right? They were expecting the worst case scenario. He's going to say, "No, I'm going to kill him." Best case scenario, he's going to say, "Okay, I'll take him as an eved." That's what they suggested. Avdecha ben Hadad, right? Avdecha ben Hadad, Achihu. So they were blown away. So they started doing nichush, like the Mefarshim say, like nichush, like sorcery. They tried to figure out, is he being serious? Right? Is he actually being serious? He's calling Ben Hadad Achi, my brother. Is that for real? And vayachlitu hamimenu, and they hurried up and they decided. They made a decision. It's from him. He really means that. He means achi. Vayomru achicha ben Hadad. So they changed their tune. They see where Achav is holding. Okay, we'll meet you where you are. Yeah, your brother ben Hadad. Remember him? Vayomer bo'u kachuhu. And he said, "Yeah, come, bring him." Vayetze love ben Hadad. So ben Hadad comes out of hiding. Brothers, ben Hadad comes out of hiding. Vayalehu ala merkava. And they put him on the chariot. And he's going to be good. He's going to survive this. He's going to get out, right? So all of a sudden, Achav is a complete softy. When it's time to be tough, he's not. When it's time to be this fellow is a Rasha, right? He's attacking Klal Yisrael. He's supposed to show him, you know, what it means to attack Klal Yisrael. He's supposed to kill him, execute him, get rid of him. Nope. He's a softy. He has rachamim on him. My brother and the servants are sharp. They chop this right away, and they say, "Yeah, brother, yeah." And they take advantage of it, okay? And he comes out. Now, Vayomer Elov. So now, Ben Hadad is afraid still, meaning he sees that he's free. He sees that Achav doesn't want to kill him, but he's still afraid. He's still afraid. So now he starts, you know, starts trying to make Achav feel good. Starts, you know, trying to pave the way here towards Shalom. And he says to him, "My father took some cities from your father. Ashiv, I'll give you those cities back. Don't worry about it. Right? Let's erase the past. Let's rectify the past. Any cities that we took from you, we'll give back to you. No problem. V'chutzos tasim loch bedamesek, kasher sam aviv shomron, and I'll give you markets in Damesek. Damesek that's what we call Damascus nowadays. I don't know if it was actually Damascus in those days, but it was a big city in Aram. And he says, "You know, we have a big city in Aram called Damascus. We're going to set up markets for you." What does that mean, markets for you? So Rashi says that means, not Rashi, sorry, the Rajak says what that means is that all the tax money that's collected in these markets, it's for you. For you. We'll collect all the taxes, send it right over to you, Achav, right? Making him feel good, giving him presents, right? Giving him things. And this is just like my father did in Shomron, which was, of course, that was the city of Achav. And now, Mefarshim say, now Achav is speaking. Until now, Ben Hadad was speaking. Now Achav speaks. And he says, "Va'ani, ba'bris ashalcheka, I'm going to send you off with a covenant, with a bris. We're going to make a treaty. We're going to make a treaty together. Va'yichros lo'bris. And they made a covenant, they made a pact, they made a treaty, and he sent him off. He sent him off. Rachamim, mercy, achi, my brother, a bris, sends him off. This is after the second time that Achav, it's almost crazy. The second time that Achav comes and attacks Bnei Yisrael, and this is he gets the royal treatment. He gets the royal treatment. All right, now, this is not going to go over very well with the Ribbono Shel Olam, as we'll see. Pasuk Lamed Hey. And here's where the unraveling of Achav begins. I mean, Achav already had a lot of issues to begin with, but you know, this is where the real unraveling begins. The Ish Echad mi Bnei Anaviim. And there was one man from the Bnei Anaviim, and here the Radak says, some say this was Michiyahu. He keeps popping up again. And the Mefarshim say that he's called Bnei Anaviim because he wasn't, you know, he was like a Navi in training. He wasn't Eliyahu. He wasn't Elisha. He was, you know, one of the Talmidim. But he comes and he says the following. Omar El Re'ehu, and he turns to his friend and he says, Bidvar Hashem Hakenina. The Hashem has commanded, please hit me, punch me. Okay. So the guy looks at him like he's nuts. Hashem is telling me to punch you? What are you talking about? Right? And the fellow says, absolutely not. I'm not punching you. I'm not hitting you. Now Michiyahu says, but I'm a Navi. And this is a Nevuah. Hashem is telling me through you, Hashem is telling you through me, I'm giving you a Nevuah that you're supposed to hit me, that you're supposed to punch me. And the fellow refuses. He refuses. Okay, so what's going on, right? What's going on over here? So we'll see that this is a mashal. This is going to be a mashal that the Navi is using to teach Achav a lesson. Okay, now, in reality, he's not getting punched right now, but we'll see in a minute that he will get punched, okay, and he'll get hurt. Why did Michiel get hurt? Right, there had to be some kind of a cause that Michiel was going to get hurt as a result of this. So the Malbim says that he really deserved to get hit. Why? Because he should have jumped in earlier and reprimanded Achav and told him, hey, Achav, make sure you don't mess up here. Or when he saw him messing up, he should have jumped in and said, hey, you're doing something wrong. Don't do this. Don't have mercy on him. Kill Ben-Hadad. And he didn't. He didn't. He saw what was happening. Michiel was aware of what was going on. And he took a back seat. And he said, listen, not my problem. Not my issue. And because of that, he's a Navi. Because of that, the Navi was held responsible. And he wasn't killed. But we'll see, he does get hurt as a result of this. Now, right now, he doesn't get hit. Right now, he doesn't get punched. But we'll see the message. Now, Pasuk Lamed Vav. So what's the response to this man who refuses to listen to the Navi and punch him? Vayomer lo, so Michio says to this fellow, Yana shelo shamata b'kol Hashem. You're not listening to the voice of Hashem. This is I'm a Navi. I'm telling you Nevuah. You're not listening to the voice of Hashem. Hinecha holech me'iti. When you leave from here, the hikicha ha'arye, you will be killed by a lion. Right? I'm a Navi. You didn't listen to the Nevuah. So because you didn't listen to the Kol Hashem, as soon as you turn around and you leave here, you're going to be killed by a lion. That's what's going to happen to you. And kachava, vayelech me'etzlo, vayimtza'ehu ha'arye vayakeim. And that's exactly what happened. The fellow left, a lion found him, attacked him, and killed him. Okay? So this is the punishment. Now, this again, this is a message, right? It's a message to Achav. You have to listen to the Dvar Hashem. If you don't, you're responsible. Okay? Now I saw on the bottom of the article also they raise the question, you know, you're not allowed to hit another Jew. So maybe this fellow didn't listen to Michiyahu because he said, well, that's awesome. You can't do that. I'm not gonna hit you. I'm not allowed to hit you. You're not allowed to punch someone. You're not allowed to hurt someone, right, for no reason. So, but they say, but everybody knew that Michiyahu was a Navi. Everybody knew that he was a righteous person. So if a Navi Hashem comes and tells you something, even if it's something that's normally not acceptable, but if he comes and tells you, b'shem Hashem, you got to listen to him. Like Eliyahu Navi, they bring the analogy. Eliyahu Navi, we just read, he brought a carbon on Har Carmel. On a bama. How is he allowed to do that? Not allowed to be makriv on a bama. There's a mishkan, right? You're not allowed to be makriv on a bama, but he was allowed to because this was the Dvar Hashem. Sometimes the Dvar Hashem warrants deviating from the norm.
That happened after he was proven he was a Navi. This time he didn't. We didn't. There was no proof that he was an obvious person that he said he was. He didn't show.
Yeah, he meaning he was he was this is not his first rodeo, right? And people know. People know he's a Navi. It was known he was a Navi.
He gave
him
the first
Right. So he's been giving Navua here, and I guess people knew about him. People knew that he was one of the Naviim. Okay. Now the Radak also points out here that Achav is missing the blatant lesson. You know, 100,000 of the Arami soldiers are killed, right? That's in one day. That's miraculous. And then the remaining 27,000 are killed by a wall that comes crashing down on them. And the only guy to survive is Ben-Hadad. Obviously, this is a test for you, right? Obviously, this is a test. This is miraculous. This is obviously a test. Hashem is keeping Ben-Hadad alive to test you and to see, are you going to listen to him? Are you going to listen to him? Okay. Yeah, and
so that's what it is. Now it's time for fighting.
Exactly. Exactly right. All the Mefarshim say here that he was showing Rachamim, right? Now, Rachamim is a virtue. Rachamim is a good midah. But when you show Rachamim to a Rasha at the wrong time, that's achzarius. That's cruelty. Because we never think of killing someone we never think of sparing someone as cruelty. That's not cruelty, that's mercy. Misplaced mercy is cruelty. Misplaced mercy is cruelty, right? Now, again, you could say it practically because then if you let him go, he's going to do other problems, right? You didn't kill Sinwar, now look what happened, right? So misplaced mercy, again, I'm not saying that was mercy. I'm not blaming this on Netanyahu. This is not a political commentary here. I'm just bringing a mashal. But you could say that misplaced mercy because that's going to cause something bad. It's achzarius. But even without that, even without the practical application that it might lead to something worse, just that in and of itself is wrong, right? This is not the time for mercy. This is not how Hashem wants you to deal with this person. And again, it all goes back to, as Jews, we have to live a life of Ratzon Hashem, not our Ratzon. And this is the problem with the morals and values of the 21st century, right? Because those morals and values are whatever people decide. We don't believe that, right? We believe it's the Ratzon Hashem, whatever Hashem decides. If Hashem says you're supposed to kill someone, then that's what you're supposed to do. Even though generally, of course, we believe killing is wrong, and we're a very peaceful people, generally speaking, but there are exceptions. And if Hashem tells you to kill someone, you got to kill them, right? If Hashem tells you to do something that seems achzari, you have to do it. But again, the classic mashal is like the amputation. Doctors amputating a limb, right? So you look at it, it's achzarius. You're cutting off this person's limb. But the doctor's only doing it to save the life. Because the doctor knows if you don't do this, then there's a danger to the person's life. So what looks like achzarius is really chesed. And sometimes what you think is chesed is really achzarius. Okay. Pasuk lamid zayin. Vayimtso yish acher. So now he finds another person. Vayomer hakenina. And he says again, please punch me, hit me. And this guy says, okay, you know, I got to listen to the Navi. And he sees the first guy didn't end too well, but he didn't listen. Vayakeyu ha'ish, hakei ufatsoa. And so he punches him, and the Mefarshim say he punches him a second time, right? So the article says in the bottom, some say he punched him twice because he says the first guy didn't do a good job. I'm going to do a really good job, right? I'm going to do a really bang up job here. He told me to punch him. I'm going to really punch him. Okay. The Medrash says hakei ufatsoa. Rashi says if you look at Rashi, Rashi says hakei ufatsoa means that there's hotzah's dam, right? It means that he drew blood, that he caused him to bleed. And again, you know, pashuv shot, it doesn't seem so okay. So he bled, you know. But the Medrash says no, he bled, and the bleeding of a tzaddik is kapara. So when he bled as a result of this blow, that was a kapara for Bnei Yisrael, and that's what caused that we're going to have a war in Ramos Gilad, and not one soldier's going to die. And that's a kapara as a result of that. Pasuk lamin ches. Vayelech hanavi, vayamod lamelech el adorech. Okay, so now we got to get this message to Achav. So the Navi, Yichyahu, goes and he stands on the road to greet the king. but he's going to do this in hiding at first because he wants to send them a message. And he hides himself, he disguises himself by putting his scarf over his eyes. He covers his face partially so that Achav doesn't recognize him and won't know anything when he first greets him. So the king, now Achav, is passing. And he's standing on the side, right? And he starts screaming at the king, yelling at him. And he says, Avdecha, I have a problem. King Achav, I have a problem. Maybe you can help me. Avdecha yatsa bekerev hamilchama. I went out to war. Right, this war we just had. I went out to war. I was one of the soldiers. Vihinei ish sar. Someone came by. Vayavei elai ish. And he brought me a person, like a captive. And he told me, Vayomer, shemores ha'ish hazeh. And he told me to guard him, to watch him. Imi fakeid, yi pakeid. If you lose him, then you're lost, and we're going to take your life instead of his life, right? Meaning, watch him with your life. Or we're going to make you pay a lot of money, right? One of the two. So he says, I was doing it, but then I lost track of him, and I looked this way and that way, and he's gone. The man is gone. What am I supposed to do now? I'm scared. Vayomer elav, Melech Yisrael. So the king hears the predicament and he says, okay, you know, you messed up. Kein mishpatecha ata charatza. He says, you messed up, right? You messed up. You did something wrong. You messed up. And whatever the decision is, whatever, you know, you're liable. He said you have to watch him. You didn't watch him. So it's your fault. So what? Now this is the mashal. So all of a sudden, Michiyahu removes the scarf from his eyes. And right away, he recognizes, Achav sees that he's one of the Nevi'im. He doesn't know his name, but he sees, okay, I recognize this guy. He's one of the Nevi'im. So Michiyahu turns to Achav and he says, this is the word of Hashem. Yan shilachta es ish chermi miyad. You let someone go that you weren't supposed to, right? You let Ben-Hadad, Ish-Chermi means that he was a person of destruction. He was slated for destruction. He was supposed to be killed. He was supposed to be executed to get him off the streets and have him stop attacking Klal Yisrael and stop blaspheming Ribono Shel Olam. And you had him. You had him in your hands. You had him in your clutches. And you let him go. The Haisa Nafshecha Tachas Nafsho. The Amcha Tachas Amo. He says, you're going to lose your life because of his life. Because you let his life go, you're going to lose your life. And his nation, he's going to rebuild. You're going to lose your nation. Navi tells you that. It stings. Right? It hurts. Ayelech melech Yisrael al beso sar v'zo'eif v'yavo shomrona. So he's upset. He's angry. He recognizes what he did wrong. It's too late. It's too late. So we see the Mefarshim point out here that you see the similarities of, like you said before, right, Naomi, what you said, the similarities of Shaul and Agag, right? Shaul was commanded to kill Agag, to kill everyone, including Agag. He had mercy on Agag, misplaced mercy. He lost his melucha. Achav, the same thing, misplaced mercy. He was supposed to kill Ben-Hadad. He got the message somehow. Maybe it's not in the Pesukim clearly, but he got the message to kill Ben-Hadad, or he should have understood the message to kill Ben-Hadad. He failed the test. He didn't kill him. Misplaced mercy. Misplaced mercy is cruelty. You don't deserve to be king anymore. And now we're going to see this is going to be the end of the beginning of the end of Achav's reign. Mitzvah Hashem. We'll pick up next week with Perek Chaf Aleph with a very interesting story of Navos. Navos and Zevel gets into the action here. Okay. Shkoyach, thank you for coming. You're welcome.
Oh, I was a little late.